Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Five o'clock on Monday the 16th of February. Thanks very much to Chris Quirk for the past couple of hours. I'm Christian Jones and welcome along to Update. 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, the union behind bus driver strike says comments made by the infrastructure minister were untrue as the DOI maintains its door remains open for talks. A new report has highlighted the Isle of Man suicide rate is higher than the global average. And the future of Douglas horse trams are back under the spotlight. All those stories and more for you on the way. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. But first, let's get the latest news headlines read by Darren Timpson. Faster, Darren.
Manx Care has confirmed that a patient is being treated in hospital following a road traffic collision in Ramsey this morning. The incident on Parliament Street saw the area between Christian Street and East Street temporarily closed off. A yellow weather warning for wintry showers and ice has been issued for tonight. It's in place from 8 p.m. until 4 p.m. tomorrow, with high grounds most likely to be affected. And historian Charles Gard has publicly challenged Tynwald to reinstate Douglas's horse trams along the full length of the promenade 9 years after funding was approved.
You're really expecting us to believe that in 9 years you haven't been able to scrape together the money to put some tracks back along a bit of grass so a horse can pull a tram to the sea terminal?
In a video released over the weekend, he describes the current Broadway terminus as a withered stump and says repeatedly Tynwald votes have produced no action. In international news, the UK government's abandoned plans to postpone local elections for councils in May. It follows a legal challenge from Reform UK. Barack Obama has said aliens are real, but he's not seen any, and they're not being kept at the notorious Area 51 site.
There's no underground facility unless there's this enormous conspiracy and they hid it from the President of the United States.
What was the first question you wanted answered when you became president?
Where are the aliens?
But the former US president is stressing he saw no evidence of extraterrestrial activity when he was president. And England have reached a Super 8 at the T20 World Cup after being beaten by Italy by 24 runs. It was another nervy victory for Harry Brooks' side after they eventually bowled out their opponents for 178. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Darren Gurmayed, thank you very much. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There is a yellow warning that's due to be coming into effect from 8 o'clock today. That's for wintry showers and ice. Areas most likely to be affected is the high ground, so potentially the mountain road could be affected there, though. Elsewhere, clear intervals and isolated showers this evening and at first tonight, those turning wintry over higher ground before dying out later in the night. The fresh to strong northwest winds will turn northerly and east towards dawn, minimum temperatures of around 1 or 2 degrees Celsius, but sub-zero over the hills. A few icy patches are possible, particularly higher up.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. Now we'll turn our attention to this pending strike action by bus drivers on the island. It's due to be 10 days of action starting this Saturday following a row over pay and contractual issues. Well, we heard from the Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall on Friday morning saying the door is still open for talks with Unite the Union. He also claimed a further meeting had taken place last Thursday, but that's something Unite's regional officer, Debbie Holsall, says isn't true.
The current plan is that it's all out action from the 21st of February to the 3rd of March.
So you say all out action, is that how many drivers are we talking?
It's all drivers on the big buses.
Okay. We heard the Infrastructure Minister discussing the latest on this. Did you hear Minister Crookall's comments? What did you make of them?
Apparently there was a meeting that took place yesterday. We were not involved in any meetings with the department at all.
So you're saying you don't understand where Minister Crookall's got this from?
No. There has been definitely no meetings taking place yesterday with Unite the Union. With me or our representatives.
We understand meetings have been taking place between the DOI and the union, facilitated by the Manx Industrial Relations Service as well. This going on, are we talking since sort of the festive period? How have those talks gone?
There was a meeting that took place prior to Christmas. We had one the other week. Obviously, stalemate.
Stalemate, that's how you describe it.
Yeah, I would.
Now, Minister Crookle has said there are several options on the table and the door is still open to talks. Do you see any way out of this strike action? Do you think it's avoidable at this point?
I think it could be if they come to the table with something tangible. There is no way that our members will be doing any self-funding for a pay award or for pay for working weekends and bank holidays. They want the same as what everybody else in government get, and that is not fair that they are treated less favourably than anyone else.
What would your message be to the minister now then? He says his department is trying to resolve this issue. So is the union trying to resolve it as well?
Absolutely. We know where we are. We know what we can do, and all we're asking for is not to carry on just giving us lip service and chit and chat. They need to come with an offer to the table and to have open dialogue, not to sit in meetings for hours on end and then at the end of the day, quote, we're a million miles away. That is not conducive, it is not beneficial, and to be honest, some of the individuals who came into that room were wasting time. We are there to basically, we come and we're a problem and we've got a solution, and a solution is in hand. It is down to the government and the department to come to the table with that offer. If they choose not to, we know what is happening on the 21st of February.
Debbie Holzer there from Unite the Union. Well, in response, Minister Crookle has told Manx Radio that there was a meeting on Thursday afternoon, but it did not include Unite. It was with someone else. He didn't disclose who. The minister says, if I picked up that up wrong, then that was my mistake. But as I said on Manx Radio on Friday, we will make ourselves available to meet with whoever to try and find a resolve. And he adds, whilst ministers do not normally get involved, if I'm asked to, I will. Now, a new report from Manx Pact has raised concerns about suicide rates and mental health provision on the island, calling for greater involvement of people with lived experience. It cites figures showing 14 deaths by suicide in 2023 alone, a rate of 16 per 100,000, higher than the global average, and says referrals to child and adolescent mental health services have risen by around 96% since 2020. I sat down with the report's author, Juan Moore, to discuss.
I think if we go to the very starting point, so when I went to the doctor, I was hoping that maybe the doctor could recommend me for some treatment, and I could go and get some treatment. I was told there's a 2-year waiting list. And at that stage, I was feeling suicidal, and I didn't really want to go back home. And then to be told that by the doctor, it's heartbreaking. Now, the doctor said I should go to a private psychologist. I was lucky I could afford that. So that's what I then did. He wanted to see me back in 2 weeks, which is probably why I'm still here now, being able to talk to you. And I then got that psychologist. My psychologist was brilliant, and she then helped me. But I don't know how people will cope if they can't afford it.
And a recurring theme throughout the report is people falling between services, or like you just mentioned, being told to wait. And you've spoken about crisis support in particular. From the experiences shared with you, what would good crisis care actually look like in practice?
Really good crisis care would be if we had a community mental health system, so you could ring up the crisis team or you could go to the crisis team and then you would get help there and then. At the moment, for me, the crisis team is it's short-staffed. There's too few people there trying to cope with too many problems, and that's where the individuals ring up and then they can't get through. We need to be able to answer every single call that gets through there. I want someone to listen to me, I want to be believed, and then I want to know that there's support available probably the next day. That's just not possible at the moment. We're a million miles away from that.
One thing you just mentioned there is when you want to be able to call them and you want to be believed. Is that something you feel some people are not believed at the moment?
Absolutely, yes. So Not necessarily by Manx Care, but yeah, they'll ring up and they're not necessarily believed. So they'll say, oh, well, that's not too bad. Have you tried breathing? Have you tried sort of rubbing your hands on the carpet? And a lot of these techniques will work for some people, but it's think, right, okay, that's really bad what's just happened to you. And affirming what they're going through and believing it, all too often that doesn't happen.
That's Stu and more from Manx Pact there. Well, Manx Radio did approach Manx Care for comment, and Public Health responded and said the report highlights key themes around better supporting vulnerable people in the community, and its contribution is welcomed. It adds the multi-agency suicide prevention group continues to implement the suicide prevention strategy through practical actions such as expanding mental health services in GP practices and schools, increasing specialist staff, delivering suicide prevention training, and improving crisis and postvention support. Well, if you have been affected by any of what you've just heard, then support and advice is available at manxradio.com/community/support.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The future of Douglas's horse trams is back in the spotlight, with a well-known historian challenging Tim Wald to deliver on a promise first made 9 years ago. Lewis is here with me now with the details. Fastamai, Lewis, what can you tell us?
Absolutely, Fastamai, Christian. So this is Charles Gard, who has released a video urging politicians to reinstate the horse tramway along the full length of the promenade as originally approved in 2017. At the moment, the service only runs as far as Broadway, earning the nickname the Halfway Horse Tram. Well, Mr. Gard says that as the 150th anniversary of the trams approaches, the island has missed an opportunity to celebrate what's widely regarded as the world's last original horse-drawn tram system.
Okay. Well, let's just have a quick listen in to what he said.
I just don't understand your psychology. You vote for something again and again, and absolutely nothing happens. Doesn't that concern you? Why hasn't one of you stood up and said, Mr. President, we have voted for this, it hasn't happened, why? And why hasn't any one of you stood up and said, with a motion, we want these horse trams back, let's do it? You see, Tinwald is supposed to hold the executive to account, and you simply are not doing that. Why is it that you haven't pushed this? Are you not embarrassed by the votes going nowhere? And, you know, don't tell me, oh, it was the last Tinwald that voted, so it doesn't apply to us, because that would mean that everything you voted for in this Tinwald can be simply disregarded by the next Tinwald. So, really, what are you there for? It's just a waste of your time and our money. Oh, and talking of money, of course, that's the other thing you keep saying. Oh, we haven't got the money. We've got to find it. It's not in the budget. There's been no business plan put in. You know, times are tight. Well, look, in recent years, you've spent millions buying the seam packet company. You've loaned millions to buy the new boat. You've spent tens of millions building a ferry terminal in Liverpool. You've built a fantastic new sea wall. You've just announced two new schools are going to be built. And the Minister for Enterprise has ploughed millions of pounds into developments, helping developers build on our brownfield sites. Look, that's brilliant. Thank goodness we can do it. But you're really expecting us to believe that in 9 years you haven't been able to scrape together the money to put some tracks back along a bit of grass so a horse can pull a tram to the sea terminal? You must think we're stupid. You're not interested, are you? That's it. You just don't care.
Charles Gard, well, some fairly strong words there. Lewis, what exactly is he accusing Tim Wald of?
Indeed. So he argues that members have voted more than once to reinstate the full route, but that those decisions haven't been followed through. He questions why Parliament hasn't held the executive to account more robustly and contrasts the delay with other major infrastructure spending in recent years. He also claims passenger numbers were around 78,000 a year when the tramway ran the full length of the promenade, compared with roughly 45,000 now.
And has there been any political response to this?
There has been, yeah. Commentary, though not from the government itself. Douglas South MHK Sarah Maltby says she shares the frustration and has long supported reinstatement even before she was elected. She says she would have reinstated the tracks within her first year if she'd been in a position to do so, but was repeatedly assured a business case was on the way. She's now urging the Department of Infrastructure to deliver, saying the countdown is on, and describing the situation as a national embarrassment if not resolved.
So as the anniversary year unfolds, I suppose it's a case that the pressure is building once again.
Exactly that. We do know the previous DOI Minister, Michelle Hayward, has confirmed she had a business case ready to go. So the question now is whether this renewed public challenge will finally result in the trams returning to their full historic route, or whether the issue continues to roll on.
Lewis, thank you very much for that. Well, it's a budget tomorrow, if you weren't aware. Now, a former Treasury Minister says the island needs to be proactive in its relationships with the UK politicians. This is Eddie Tyr, who was in charge of government's finances between 2011 and 2016. During that time, he attended several UK political party conferences and attended meetings in Westminster. He's been telling Phil Gorn that these are vital in helping the island get business done with its nearest neighbours.
I found to meet them when they were just assumed they were surrounded by friends was a much better way of generating a relationship with them, which you can build on in the future. And also, too, the biggest opportunity you had was to catch a government minister there, and I would say, hello, I'm Eddie Tyr, Treasury Minister of the Isle of Man. I'm down in London quite often. Do you think I could have 20 minutes from your diary next time I'm in London? And they always said yes. Give them a card and then go back to the office and said, I've been talking to XYZ. Yeah. He said, it's all right. Get onto them, please, and put them on the next list. And then I go down, bang, gotcha. I had a super relationship with David Gawke, the number two in the UK Treasury. And at the beginning, it was very formal. At the end, it's, hello, Eddie, how you doing? I haven't seen you for a while. And a bit of general chit-chat before we actually started. I also remember speaking to the pensions minister, Ros Altman. She was a class act. I had a great good time with her. And she said, the staff said, you got 20 minutes and that's it. 40 minutes we had. And just sort of talked it through. We got an agreement with her straight away. But it goes back again to developing those personal contacts, which you can't do overnight. And that's why if you had somebody introducing you to the contact, that would certainly help
it helps,
to smooth the path.
It? Yeah.
But the other thing I'd like to mention as well, Phil, is we need to be more proactive. Now, the UK Public Accounts Committee was on our case, Ms. Hodge. She was the chair of the PAC at the time. I remember I was at a meeting in the Speaker of the House of Commons' private apartment. She was there and she gave me both barrels about the Isle of Man, tax haven and everything else. So I said, tell you what, you tell me when you want me to appear in front of your committee and I'll defend it. Never heard another thing.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, let's take a look at the travel. We'll start with the roads in Cueig until the 17th of April. Temporary lights at the bottom of Cueig Hill near the railway bridge for sewer works. Over in Braddon, there are temporary lights on Cool Road near the business park. Also temporary lights on Braddon Road just up from Braddon Bridge. In Colby, the Ballochill Ferrick Road, that's closed for drainage and resurfacing work. Near Kirkmichael, the Ballalai Road, that's closed for resurfacing. And in Ramsey for the next fortnight, Albert Road and Waterloo Road are closed for excavation work. We'll take a look at the steam packet. Everything's looking good there. Also at the airport, everything is running to time. If there is anything that I've missed that you spot out on your travels, then do ping me a text to WhatsApp 166177 or email to studio@manxradio.com.
Manx. Serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
19 minutes past five, two residents from the Isle of Man say they're hesitant to travel outside the island after they were left stranded in Amsterdam airport a few months ago. The residents, who are from India but live and work here, were stopped from returning to the UK because their Isle of Man visas were not linked on the UK system. After 4 days, multiple calls to the UK and Isle of Man government and two trips to The Hague, the issues were rectified, but they say the anxiousness still remains.
We stayed in the airport the entire night. We were just hanging out.
Yes, sleeping in the Burger King.
Burger King, and it was a horrible experience whatsoever.
We did go to the immigration in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And they were really helpful. They looked at our visas and they're like, oh, this seems like a valid visa. But again, these Egypt people need confirmation from the UK Border Force. And they informed us to go to the UK Embassy in Hague. And the straight up response was, we can't help you from the UK Embassy. And we're like, we're stuck here. So we had to wait for 2 hours. Then two people came down and they got all our passports and all the letters and stuff. And they came back saying that, oh, I think we found the issue. I think the databases are not synced. It's like, okay, can you give us a letter to confirm that we have a valid visa? And they're like, oh, no, we can't do that. I'm like, you're the embassy. You should have the power. Yeah. And they're like, no, contact the UK VI and ask them to link your Isle of Man visa. And they're like, oh, I don't think you can add Isle of Man visas to the UK immigration account. Contact the Isle of Man government. And we did contact the Isle of Man government. And they're like, immediately, they said they're going to look into it. Tuesday morning, we did receive a call again back from the Isle of Man government saying that your documents have been sent to the British Embassy. So all the way from Amsterdam to Hague, we traveled again. And they're like, no, we didn't receive anything. Again, we contacted the Isle of Man government and like, just give us some more time. We're going to contact the UK Border Force. And on Wednesday morning, I think, we got a email confirmation from the Border Force saying that you're clear to travel. Even when we're traveling back from a home country to the UK, the Heathrow immigration officers, they don't know what's the Isle of Man visa. And every time I had to stand there for 1 hour when other thousands of people just stared at me thinking that I've entered there illegally.
If you have to sum it up, just two main issues. One is the visa stamp. It has to change. It has to be digital, or it can either be a valid stamp, which they don't write it in a pen, which is a very big issue. The second thing is our names has to be updated in the UK system. Otherwise, if there's no link between Isle of Man and UK, they're always not going to have our names in the system and it's going to reject us wherever we are.
Now, an Isle of Man government spokesperson says wet ink stamps are fully valid and the government is actively engaging with the UK Home Office and UK Border Force to minimise the risk of similar incidents. Quick travel update for you. We are being told of reports of a broken down car at Blackboards at the southbound route. So that's definitely one to keep an eye on. If you spot anything else while you're out and about, 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Now, reporting whistleblowing incidents relating to the Department of Infrastructure to an independent investigator would be difficult because of how varied its remit is. That's according to its whistleblowing designated officer and also its deputy chief officer. They've been giving evidence to a Timwald Selects committee assessing how effective the island's laws are. Geoffrey Robinson says the broad range of the department would make it difficult for someone else to assess.
I can understand that, but on an operational level, if they wish to keep their identity disclosed, sometimes it is very difficult to then bring forward the issues without identifying those individuals. So an independent authority doing that would still have exactly the same problems, because you cannot go along to somewhere and talk about a matter which might identify the individuals who've brought it forward.
But you don't think the individuals want to keep their confidentiality because they're afraid. So they perhaps wouldn't, if it was completely independent of your department, OHR, PSC, wherever.
I don't think that would make a difference.
You don't? Okay.
I think it might even be unhelpful.
Yes.
Most of what we do can be quite complicated. There's always context around the situations in which people are working, usually quite technical matters, which take a deep understanding of both the context of the workplace and the technical matters. So having a total independence, I don't think would be helpful.
So say there was a serious safety matter, say, you know, airport ports today, that goes to the regulatory body. At what point does the DOI know about that?
They obviously have regular communication. So if the regulatory body, for example, the CAA, did have an issue,
both the Health and Safety Inspectorate and the CAA would have no hesitation in contacting us in an anonymous way if that's what the person wants, but would ask questions, would investigate and get to the bottom of and satisfy themselves whether there was any truth or concerns remaining. And if there were concerns remaining, often or not, they would raise those directly with the line management and the director involved.
Geoffrey Robinson, the whistleblowing designated officer and the deputy chief officer of the Department of Infrastructure, speaking to a Timwald Select Committee there. Right, sports up next.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
OK, let's take a look at the latest sport brought to you by The Print Shed. Darren Timpson's here with me now. Fastamai, Darren, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Fastamai, starting with athletics, where not one but two Manx records were broken at the weekend. Regan Corran broke a 20-year-old high jump record at the British Indoor Championships in Birmingham on Sunday. He jumped 2.19 metres to beat Martin Aram's 2.18 metres, which he set at the 2006 Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. Corran also picked up the silver medal at the event, but fell short of gold after attempting a 2.22 metre jump. And in her debut race, Sarah Aston broke the Isle of Man's women's marathon record. Competing in Seville, Sarah ran a time of 2 hours, 35 minutes and 16 seconds, which was just 15 seconds faster than Krista Kane's time set in Chicago last year. Overall, Sarah finished 17th in the event. On to football, and for the second week running, more games in the E-Cup FA Cup were postponed due to unfit pitches. However, Braddon and Rushden United have both progressed. Braddon beat Laxey 2-1, while the Southerners put 4 goals past Moran. The other two fixtures of the day saw St Mary's beat Rushden United in the Canada Life Combination 1 and Cobley beat St George's in the Arden and Drogheda Combination 2. FC Isle of Man were also unable to play on Saturday due to disruptions at Ronalds Way Airport. Their trip to Barnoldswick Town has been rescheduled for Tuesday, 31st of March. The tie at Greenbufield Lane will kick off at 7:45 p.m. In rugby, Ramsey started phase two of the 2025-26 season in the best way on Saturday. They secured their first win of the season with a 43-19 hammering of Duncanfield in the County 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire. Meanwhile, Douglas Celts took the honours in the Hartford Homes Manx Cup with a 17-13 win over Vagabonds. And in hockey, Isle of Man Lady Zaya progressed from the second round of the England Hockey Tier 2 plate. They beat Newcastle University's second 11 3-2 on Saturday. Locally, Backersby have maintained their perfect start to the new season after beating Valkyries 7-2. Meanwhile, player commitments in the England Hockey Championships meant only one game was played from the Men's and Ladies Premier Leagues. Castletown A beat Valkyries A 3-1 in the Men's League.
Good reminder, Darren. Thank you very much. Tell you what, there are some pretty crazy achievements in here. I mean, imagine being able to do a marathon in 2 hours, 35 minutes and 16 seconds. Do you reckon you could do that?
Absolutely not, no.
I think I could probably go from like the bedroom to the kitchen in that amount of time. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Darren Timpson. Phil Gorn is up next with Agenda. He'll be followed by Chris Kinley from 6, who has Greatest Hits, Ian Cottier in the Hot Seat from 9, and then Dave Moore taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. Beth is back with you tomorrow, so until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.